AM 1240 WJON at 541. It's 45 degrees here on the east side of St. Cloud. Joining us on Rush Hour, the Central Minnesota Child Advocacy Director, Katie Becker. How are you today, Katie?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I'll just have you be a little closer to the mic so we can make sure we hear you.
We can even move it a little bit.
First time on a mic? Maybe?
Big one like this, yes.
A big one? Awesome, awesome. Well, welcome to the studio. So I did get a chance to meet with you a couple weeks ago. So on WJON.com, we do have a video of the Child Advocacy Center for anyone that wants to kind of check that out. So this is going to be a little bit of an extension of our conversation that we had a couple weeks ago. So we'll just kind of start with filling people in on what exactly is the Child Advocacy Center.
So a Child Advocacy Center is a one-stop approach for child abuse investigations. So at the CAC, we have a space available to complete the investigations where we bring all community partners such as law enforcement, child protection, the prosecutors. They come to our center to complete the purpose of their investigation. So for children that have allegations of abuse, all referrals do come from the county or law enforcement, child protection, not from the public. So they contact us to let us know that they have a report of suspected child abuse. They all come to the CAC where we can provide a neutral, fact-based approach, you know, to interview the child. We complete the medical exams for all the children at the CAC, and we have advocacy support and medical. So it's basically under one roof, the team comes to our center to complete the investigation.
Now, what's unique about you guys is it's all funded on grants and donations, right?
Correct. So we really feel like at the CAC, it's really about the healing of the child. So before, you know, the partners would mainly complete the investigations kind of in their silos, right? So we bring all the partners together. It's nothing that they have to use. It's something that we encourage them to use for the best approach for the child and the family. We really want to make it a safe place. And so we don't bill anything for our services. So a child can come to our center to complete the interview in a safe place and talk to one individual to tell their story, where a team of professionals are watching it from a different room. We also have the advocacy services that we provide to the family, the non-offending caregivers, to really help them through this process and the healing process and answer any questions they have. There's also no charge for that. The medical is kind of unique about our center, that we do have medical offered for all children. And even though maybe there's not evidence to be collected, we do feel it's appropriate and needed, you know, for the well-being of that child just to complete a medical exam for all children and just to let them know their body is okay and you're going to be okay. That is something that we also don't charge to the family. So they never have a cost, which is sometimes an additional stressor for families.
Now, is it hard for you guys to get donations to keep everything running? I'd imagine that this is kind of a big expense to,
right,
you know, have this operation.
Yeah, I think it was something that we weren't really, we didn't know how large this would get and how much of a demand and need there is in our community, and that child abuse happens every day, all day around us. And so we started with myself as, you know, the director. We went from one staff, two staff. We're actually up to 5 full-time staff and 3 part-time staff within 2 years. And so a lot of our operations are keep having a building, the space available for our partners to come, as well as for the staff members that we have as far as, you know, the medical and advocacy. You know, we have someone, you know, that meets with the family, you know, and gives them those services, but to pay for all the salaries and stuff. So we are looking at about a $600,000 a year cost to operate. And we do get about $250,000 around there from donations and grant funding annually that we have received so far.
So that still leaves quite a big chunk that you guys still need help with. Now, I know last time we were talking that CentraCare actually chose you guys for their year-end campaign. Can you tell me a little bit about that campaign and Oh, you guys are going to benefit from that?
Yeah, so the community campaign.
Okay, community campaign.
Yep, yeah. The community campaign. We're very fortunate. This is something that they do for the next 3 months now, or now until December 31st, I guess it will go. And we're very fortunate that CentraCare chose the Child Advocacy Center to be the beneficiary of this community campaign here. We actually have Bozer Construction will match any gift that someone provides up to $100,000. So we're very grateful for that. So really hoping that we can receive some funds from the community so we can sustain the Child Advocacy Center in our community. And we're really hoping that, you know, through CentraCare support and the community support, that we are able to receive some additional funds to support this.
Yeah. So if someone is interested in donating, how do they go about doing that?
They actually can just go online to centracare.com/foundation, and there is a link there, I believe, that they can donate their funds.
Awesome. Richard, I know I've kind of stolen the interview a little bit because I've talked to Katie before, but, you know, you don't know quite as much about the Child Advocacy Center. Do you have any kind of questions about how things work?
I mean, well, so, Katie, walk me through maybe, if you can, walk me through what a child coming to you guys would go through from walking in the door to leaving.
Maybe as opposed to what it was in the past.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So when the child does come, we are expecting them. So we do know that a child's going to come in. We know that, you know, we have a child come in, let's say, at 2 o'clock today. So our advocates actually call the family ahead of time to let them know, do you have any questions? You know, and a lot of times they do because they're scared. You know, this is something that I wasn't expecting this in my family. You know, and what is this place like? What is my child going to experience? So the advocates are really helping them to answer any questions they have. So when they do come in the door, they're greeted right away by our staff there and just have a seat and feel welcome. It's a very child-friendly environment. You were there as well, Christine, but just, you know, the rainforest theme. And so part of it is making them feel comfortable is the goal. And then right after that, they will be greeted by the forensic interviewer. And that's the one person that they will talk to and share their story with. And that's really just a fact-based, neutral information seeking. And the goal of it is just tell me about yourself and really build that rapport and really get to know the child. And if they want to share, and, you know, a lot of times it takes a lot of courage for a child to share that abuse. And so we want to make sure they're ready and they're able to share that story with one person. So while they're sharing that, again, a team of professionals are in a separate room watching the interview live. And so that would be if it's the lawyers, the prosecutor, child protection, if it's the law enforcement. And so they are getting the information that they may need for the case, for their purpose of their investigation. So what that really does is it means that the child doesn't have to be re-interviewed again and again and again by multiple people and tell the story and be re-traumatized. So if they can hopefully talk to one person, one interviewer, and feel really comfortable sharing their story. In the meantime, the helpful thing too is, well, that we all know that it's not just the child that's affected by this. It's also the family oftentimes. And so we do have our advocate that'll meet with the non-offending caregiver and help them with the healing process and what services, you know, support services they can get, such as therapy. So we can make that referral for therapy and the healing process afterwards. So, and then again, the medical exam is offered. So it's really, we have, you know, a case that comes in sometimes and a child that comes in, they may be at our center for 2-3 hours, you know, but the goal of it is let's get everything done that we need right now and really, you know, make this child comfortable. So I can say, you know, a lot of the staff would probably agree that when a child comes in, a family comes in, they're very scared, you know, and have lots of questions. And but when we see them leave, you know, that's in a happy and smiling and everybody, they do get a backpack that's donated to us by Pockets of Hope. They want us to give a backpack filled with a bunch of items for this child afterwards. And we give them a backpack. And I think the biggest thing is just to let that child know that, you know, we listened to you, we believed you, and we're here to help you with that healing process. Our advocates and our staff continue to follow up with the family throughout the life of the case. So they may go to court with them if needed. You know, and sometimes these go for a year or two, you know, so they're following up with them beyond the time of the interview. They continue to follow up. That's different than what it was maybe before. So we really want to make sure that we focus on the healing of the child, you know, not just the investigation piece.
That's good. I'm excited that you guys are able to do this work. It's saddening to me that we have to do this, as you know. But how many kids have you guys helped through this whole process?
Sure. We have been open for 2 years. We just hit our 2 year. We currently are serving Stearns and Benton County. And we have actually, sad to say, but we have served over about 430 kiddos, even more than that, in the last 2 years from those two counties. And I would say about close to 70 of them have been under the age of 3. So the children we do serve are 0 to 18, you know, and we're really looking at how we can also serve vulnerable adults as an area that we're looking at, individuals that have experienced sex trafficking as well. So the numbers are there, the needs there, and that's, I think, if we really are going to sustain this in our community, you know, without having, again, the revenue coming in, it really takes the community. You know, the other thing, too, is there's about 950 of these in the U.S., so this is nothing new. This is nothing we created, but we are following a national model, you know, of accreditation and stuff like that we follow. So our hope is to continue this in our area.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Katie. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
AM 1240 WJON St. Cloud.